Good morning. You glad you're in Sunday school? I'm glad you're here too. Glad to be in the Lord's house. Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Luke. This month, we've been talking about what the Bible teaches. Talked about, first of all, what the Bible teaches about the church, what the Bible teaches about God, and today we're going to talk about what the Bible teaches about witnessing, telling somebody else about Jesus. Nothing more important in the life of a Christian than to tell somebody else about their Savior, what He's done for them. So today we're going to talk about that. As we talk about the subject of witnessing today, we're going to read some scriptures, first of all, about witnessing. Then we're going to look at an example of a witnessing. And then we're going to look at the local church and what it's doing in regard to witnessing today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer first. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for another week You've given us. You spared us. Thank You for now for this new week as we be in Your house together. We thank You for each one that's come. We ask now in these next few minutes we have together as we open Your Word that You might impart to us truths that we can apply to our lives even today and the rest of this week, even the rest of our lives till Jesus comes. So Father, we thank You for the Word of God we have. Illumine our minds now and give us that we need. Encourage us, dear God, in this world in which we live. God, help us to focus upon the main thing, Lord, as You've commanded us to, dear God. So, Father, we give this time to You, and thank You again for everyone that's here. Bless and have Your will and way in every heart and every life. Be with those that are handicapped, they can't be here today because of sickness or whatever reason they may have. I pray You bless them where they can be here next week. And Lord, we just thank You now for loving us. Thank You for what You've given to us this week and watching over us. Thank You now for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. In Luke chapter 24, we're going to read some scriptures here in just a minute. But we see here, as we talk about witnessing is very important in the life of a Christian. We see throughout the New Testament the pattern for the Christian missionary activity, and that's set forth throughout the entire New Testament, what we ought to be doing as children of God. Sharing the gospel, sharing the good news. A witness is one who testifies about the truth. It can be in word or it can be in action to testify about the truth, that is the Word of God. We see that it can be through many means. It can be preaching, it can be teaching, it can be confessing, it can just be sharing a testimony as a way to witness. You can pass out a tract and, you know, be a witness to people. So there are many ways to witness. We find witnessing mentioned in John's writing some 76 times. In the book of Acts, it's some 39 times. And then throughout the writings of Paul, some 35 times, this subject of witnessing. So it's very important throughout the New Testament as we look at it. We see that witnessing is a universal obligation for all Christians. It's not an option, literally, it's a command from God for all of His children to be a witness. He's commanded us to do this. We see that Christian witnesses are to be faithful. We're to be faithful. It may, at times, maybe not be comfortable for us to witness. There may possibly be some danger sometime in witnessing. But nevertheless, we're to be faithful in this thing of witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I say to you and myself, even though we may set aside times to go witnessing, and we should, but we ought to be witnesses every day. Every day of our life, no matter where we go, we can be a witness. Keep tracks with you. Talk to people. Pass out tracks at the grocery store, at the gas station. Wherever we go, God has given us the opportunity and the command to be a witness, and we ought to be busy doing that. Every day of our life. And no greater joy, folks, no greater privilege does anybody have than for us to share the good news with somebody else, even if it's verbally or if it's just simply giving a tract to them. What a privilege we have, and God's given to us to be able to do that today. Christian witnessing also needs to be directed by the Holy Spirit. Directed by the Holy Spirit. We need to ask God to direct us and help us when we do witness to people. And if it is directed by the Holy Spirit, it will manifest God's presence, and also God's power when we witness to somebody. You can see evidence because of what God is working in their lives. You can see God moving in their hearts and expressions upon their face when God is doing something in their lives. And what a joy it is to be able to see that and see somebody come to know Christ as Savior. So we see we are commanded to be a witness all the one. Now look in Luke 24, look at verse number 44. We read these verses right here. Luke 24, beginning with verse 44. Jesus had just tried to identify himself with the 10 back in verse 36 down to verse 43 by talking to them. And then he says in verse 44, he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Notice it says, and ye are witnesses of these things. Ye are witnesses of these things. We see here, we're to be witnesses unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see God here now as he tries to instill in their minds that they are to present this to people around Jerusalem and all around the world. They are to be witnesses of this very fact. Now, turn back to the book of Acts. Turn over to the book of Acts, Acts. I want us now to, we're going to look at some more scriptures in just a few minutes, but I want us to look at an example of witnessing. We can look throughout the Bible, there's a lot of examples of witnessing. We know in Acts chapter 8 how Philip was in a revival meeting and the Holy Spirit led him out into the wilderness, into the desert, so to speak, to witness to one man and led him to the Lord sitting on the chariot there. And he was baptized and all that. There are many cases throughout the Bible we can look at witnessing. But I want you today to look at here in Acts chapter 9. We know the story here. This was Saul before he became Paul. His conversion, talk about his conversion on the road to Damascus here. And we see as Paul was probably one of the greatest missionaries and church planters throughout the Bible that we could read about. No doubt, many pastors and churches today would consider it a privilege to have been invested in his ministry, in the work that he did. We would like to be connected with such a preacher as Paul was, with such power and such an effective ministry as he had throughout the world while he was here. Many people were saved because of the ministry of Paul and what God did through him. What an honor it was also for the church of Antioch to be the sending church of Paul, this great missionary church planner. He was a great man. But notice before this happened, look at Acts chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Before this all happened, it wasn't always this way we're talking about planting churches in the life of Saul at this time. Verse number 1 and 2 in chapter 9, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Saul was a persecutor. He was one that despised Christians. He was one that wanted to put every Christian in jail if he could, if not kill him. He was a Christian hater at this time. He was Saul at this time. And we see here in the beginning here what was taking place in his life. He was Saul of Tarsus. He was a man of low esteem when it comes to the Christians. Christians didn't want to be around him. They didn't like him because they knew how he hated Christians. Therefore, they had no connection whatsoever. And Saul, the Christians did not want to be like him. No doubt he was probably the most undesirable person on the earth at that time, as far as Christians were concerned. And even after the word had gotten out that he had a conversion at Damascus, they still doubted it. They still doubted it because of the way he was before he got saved and how effective he was here. Some in the church in Jerusalem still did not believe that he was truly saved. after he got saved. Now, let's look at him in verses 3 through 9 in Acts chapter 9. I want us to notice here as we go through this, I want us to notice three things in far as witnessing. There are three things that affect our witnessing. There are three things that affect our thinking about the church and also thinking about God. Three things are very important. Write these three words down. Number one is attitude. Attitude. Number two, do the ABCs, okay? Attitude is number one. Number two is believe. And number three is commitment. Commitment. Now, let's look at this today as we look here in Acts chapter 9 at a man named Ananias. Let's look at some things about him as we see here in verse number 3. Notice here in verse number 3, and as he, that is Saul, journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into a city, into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Can you imagine these men walking along with Saul, and all of a sudden they hear a voice, looking around and not seeing who it identifies with? My, it must have been astonishing to them. They were speechless, the Bible says. Verse 8, And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Now we see in these verses, verses 3 through 9 here, we see something very important. We find a man in darkness. We find a man wondering what was next. Here he is walking down the road to Damascus, going to do his thing, so to speak, and all of a sudden a light from heaven shines down upon him. It blinds him. He falls flat on his face. He finally gets up, opens his eyes, and he can't see. What's he going to do? Here's a man here in darkness, and he's wondering what in the world is next. And we notice what happened here. Verses number 10, look what happened. Notice here, verses 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here. Behold, I am here, Lord. Now notice here. You know, it's always amazing to me how God, knowing everything, he's always got a man. He's got a man available to do his job, the job that he wants done. And here's a man named Ananias. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, something about Ananias, his attitude. Remember I said attitude, what's number two? Believe, number three, commitment. Notice his attitude. Notice the attitude Ananias had. Ananias, knowing Saul, knowing his past, knowing he's been around him, he's familiar with him, he's heard about him. But yet, I want you to notice his attitude. In verse number 10, notice it again. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, he called him out. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. My, what an attitude. Behold, I'm here, Lord. It's like the Lord speaking to you and say, Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. And he says something to you. Will we say, Behold, Lord, here I am? What will we say? You know, when God speaks to us about doing something, it may be in the grocery store passing out a tract. Do we do it? Do we do it? We say, okay, Lord, I'll do it. The next person I'll see, I'll pass out a tract. You know, I'll get one out and I'll get it ready to pass it out. You know, do we do this? He had an attitude, the right attitude towards witnessing, the right attitude. You know, we all have all kinds of attitudes, don't we? Nod your head like this. We all do. You know, we had an attitude, were to come to Sunday school or not, to church or not today. We had a choice, didn't we? We had that choice to make, an attitude. We have an attitude about going to work, about what you're going to eat today. We all have attitudes all the time. Ananias had the right attitude here now about obeying God. See, he did not know what God wanted him to do, but he said, Lord, here I am. Lord, here I am. The right attitude is so important in our lives. The attitude that we have. The attitude that we have. Now, let's notice what happened here. In this verse right here we see, in verse number 11, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. He prayeth. And has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. This is what the Lord told Ananias. Now, no doubt Ananias was concerned about this man called Saul because he'd known him by his past. His voice had some concern in it. In verse 13, we'll see a little bit in these verses. But Ananias did so. Notice what happened. Ananias was concerned about what God wanted him to do. Verse 13, then Ananias said, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bid all that call on thy name. He had questions, didn't he? He was concerned about this call from God now, what God wanted him to do. But yet Ananias said, behold, here I am, Lord. Behold, here I am, Lord. You know, when you go out visiting, and you go up to a door and you knock on a door, you don't know who in the world is behind that door, do you? But you know, if we have the right attitude before we leave, when we get there, God is going to always work things out for us. He'll work all things out for us. We'll find out it ain't going to be what we expect. Because through these little minds of ours goes to all kinds of crazy things. You know? Crazy things. We're going to be run off. He's going to slam the door in our face and they're going to cuss us out. And, you know, they're going to do all kinds of things. And listen to me, I've had it all. Really have. But whenever we go, if we go for the Lord, we have the right attitude. The right attitude before we even leave about what we're doing, it makes the most difference in the world when we have that right attitude. We're going for the Lord, okay? We're going to present the gospel. We're going to try to read the scriptures to somebody. We're going to try to share our testimony with somebody. The right attitude. That's the attitude we need when we go out to try to visit people and talk to people about the Lord. So we see here, Ananias is concerned. He is concerned about what he's going to face here. And there's some concern about it. But we know what happened. We know it's not only his attitude, but we also look at verse number 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way. Go thy way. The Lord said to Ananias, believe. Believe. Go thy way. Go thy way. Believe. That's what God said to his children today. Listen, no matter what the world tells us about visiting, go, 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 go. The church is to be a what? A going church. That is going out into the fields around us and telling people about the Lord. We're to go. And in going, we're to have the right attitude and we're to believe. We're to believe in God, that God is going to protect us. God, have you ever heard of somebody being killed out knocking on doors? Anybody? Anybody? Put in prison? Knocking on doors? I haven't. So, see, it all goes back to our attitude, and it comes back to our believing in God, trusting God. We're going to believe the Lord. Because this is not only an option, it is a what? It's a command to go into the world and tell people about Jesus. Therefore, we ought to be going. We ought to be going. We ought to be going into the world. And so we see here what's happened here now. There's the right attitude. There's believing. And then we see here, Jesus says in verse number 15, but the Lord said unto Ananias, go thy way. Go thy way. Now, why is he to go? Why is he to obey the Lord? He gives an answer here to Ananias. Why are you to go, Ananias? He says, for he is a what? Chosen vessel. The man that you're going to witness to is a chosen vessel. I have chosen him for a specific task. There's something that he is going to do for me. And you're going to be the one that I'm going to use to go to talk to him and go tell him. See, you never know, brothers and sisters. You might knock on the door of the next D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday. You don't know who you're going to witness to. See, and here, Ananias, God is trying to encourage him and get him to believe. Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, God says, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. I'm going to show him. This man that you're going to talk to, this man that's chosen to me, he is going to suffer for my name's sake. He's going to suffer for me because he's going to be a witness for me. You know, he's going to be a witness for me. Now, can you imagine? Can you imagine the scene now? Here's Ananias. He knows all about Saul. He's been given word by the Lord to go to him in a certain place, go down to a certain street called Straight, go to Judas's house, and he's there praying. And I want you to go to him. I want you to go to him. This is your job, to go to him. And notice verse 17. We see, verse 17, here the commitment. We've seen his attitude. We've seen his believing. And now we see his commitment. Verse 17, and Ananias went his way. He went the way God wanted him to go. Down the straight street, down to Judas' house, and entered into the house, and putting his hands were on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou comest has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine the emotions of the scene of Ananias as he walked down that street? There's Straight Street. I'm on the right street. There's Jesus' house. Now we're going to Jesus' house. Can you imagine how he felt emotionally in himself before he went into that house? Here's I'm going to this house. This man is a persecutor. He might even kill me. But you know, I've got to have the right attitude. I've got to believe God. He had the right attitude. He believed God, and he went into this house. He committed himself to do the task that God had called him to do, committed him to do. He went into that house, and he laid his hands on him, the Bible says. He laid his hands on him here. And we see, because of that, we see what happened. He appeared to him in the way that he sent him, the Bible says, and he received his sight, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost because of the obedience of this man called Ananias. Now, let's notice something here. I don't know where there was a more unlikely candidate at that time living for the grace, the love of God, and forgiveness of God than Saul because of what he was doing. Even Paul himself testifies later on in the scriptures that he was, of all Christians, the most sinful Christian. He was the most sinful Christian, sinful person, the chief of sinners, he said, he called himself. We see here in verse number 18, notice here, Ananias went into the house where Saul was. He laid his hands on him, the Bible says, as he was praying, there Paul was, and he spoke to him and called him Brother Saul. And then the Lord appeared unto them. He told how the Lord appeared unto him as you came towards Damascus, and he sent me that I might pray, receive that he has sent me here by the way, that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's why he came. Now notice here, verse number 17 says that he received his sight and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Isn't it significant that Paul was blinded, the scales did not leave his eyes until Ananias came in and laid his hands on him and touched him? Did not God himself have the power as he struck Saul down on the road to Damascus? Did he not have the power to lift him up? He did. He had the power to give him sight again. God could have done all that himself. But isn't it amazing how God chose a man, one man, to go to one man, his servant, going to be his servant, and touch him that he might receive his sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, what is that to us? What is that to us? What does that teach us about ministry? What does that teach us about caring for people? What does it teach us? Remember, he had the right attitude, didn't he? He believed. He was committed to do what God wanted him to do. We're talking about witnessing, folks. We're talking about witnessing. Here we see the lesson that he wanted us to teach. As he went down that street, that straight street, and went in that house called Judas, God, through the Scriptures, has invited us into that house to see what took place when Ananias touched Saul. He invited us to see what happened. The scales fell off his eyes, and he was filled with the Spirit of God, was he not? Now, what is this to us? What is this saying to us? It helps us in our life to see the tender touch of love, the touch of love from Ananias upon Saul at this time helped transform this man's life. If Ananias had said, "Lord, I'm not going to do it. He's a persecutor. If I go, he'll kill me." If Ananias had not had the right attitude, if he had not believed God, and he had not committed himself to God, there would not have been Apostle Paul. But because he did that, he had the right attitude. He believed God, and he was committed to God. We find what God did. You know, Ananias is going to have a lot of trophies in heaven. He really will. Because he was obedient to God in letting Paul get the vision, get what God wanted him to do. My, what a tremendous teacher we have here inside to see this here, as we see what happened in the life of Ananias here. We also see another lesson we can learn is that he wanted us as individuals today to learn how important it is to reach out to other people by love, touching other people by our attitudes, our words, and what we do, what we say. It's very, very important. Yes, I know the touch of salvation belongs to who? God. God gives salvation. Okay? But love, the touch of love, belongs to you and me, to people in the world which are around us. Therefore, we need to recognize that today. We need to recognize that today. The human touch, love, is so important. There are people out there in the world, you know and I know too, that are starving to death for someone to love them. To love them. If we as Christians can't love them, who in the world is going to love them? Nobody. They're going to be unloved. They're going to be unloved. We could go to the church that Jesus founded in Matthew 16 and Matthew 28 and find that the church that Jesus founded upon that rock was a go ye church. He has commissioned them to go into all the world and preach the gospel, hasn't he? That's me, that's you. We're part of the church, aren't we? We're to go. We're to go out there into the world. At no place do you find in the Scriptures the church is commended to just attract a crowd, but we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We're to be a go church, you see. Go out there into the world. Now, what happens when we're more concerned about attracting a crowd in the church than we are going? What happens then? We find our alternative is to build a ministry around just attracting rather than going. Going. Attracting people is not the same as reaching people. Listen, there's people out there in the community in which we live right here in Clayton, North Carolina, that we need to go out. It's essential for us to do that. We need to do that. You know what will happen if we go out to the country, to the community, and talk to people? It's going to bring us, first of all, face to face with people that are not like us. Not like us. I need to see people not like me. You need to see people not like you. These people out there that have a whole lot more than I have, these people out there that maybe have less than what I have, there's a variety of people out there, and we need to see those people and talk to them. God wants to see them. God wants us to see them. He wants us to talk to them. He wants us to tell them about Jesus. He wants us to, folks. Are we doing it? Are we doing it? Are we doing it? It's essential. It introduces us to people. Otherwise, we will never communicate with. We need to be aware of every time we go out and witness to somebody, this is my first time and this probably will be my last time that I ever talk to this person about Jesus. Therefore, we ought to do the very best we can with God's help to present the gospel to them if we have the opportunity. If we have the opportunity. It's essential. And as we go, we're forced to learn how we can shine our lights in a world of darkness. God will teach us. God will show us how we can do this. If we're reaching people like we ought to reach people in our church, we'll find that our church will be filled with people with a variety of spiritual growth. There's going to be babes. There's going to be people learning to walk. There's going to be people that's in maturity. All ages of people for our spiritual concern. If we're reaching people the way we ought to reach people, folks, listen. We ought to be a going church. I trust this year, 2014, that we will realize that reaching people where they are, as they are, should be our drive in this world. Reaching people as they are, where they are. I'm going to tell you something. We went to a conference not long ago, Brother Brian, now, to a pastor's fellowship meeting. We went. I wasn't feeling the best spiritually. I got there and I enjoyed it. And I was blessed by being there. But you know what? It was alone when I left that place. I was about feeling back just like I was. It really was. I mean, there was a high and then you got down low again. But you know, folks, the number one thing that you'll never forget it. If you have the opportunity and you have the privilege of going out into somebody's house and knocking on a door and going inside and sharing the gospel with those people and seeing them genuinely getting saved, that's something that you'll never forget. You'll never forget it. And that's the only thing that's going to keep you and I going as a Christian. These ups and downs is not going to last. And I'm not downing everything that we do around here, but I'm saying the number one thing should be winning people to Jesus Christ. That's what's going to motivate you. That's what's going to motivate me. You say, well, we need to get together in fellowship. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. The best fellowship you can have is with a partner going out here and knocking on doors and winning people to Jesus Christ. You'll find, Brother Bob right here, he's a Yankee, okay? I'm a Southerner. Bless his heart, since he's been down here, him and I have been out visiting together. And we have grown closer together than I ever thought we could be because we've been out visiting. We learn each other. You know, get your partner, folks, and go out and visit people. This is what's going to keep you energized, keep you excited about the Lord and what God wants you to do. You see, you come to church, yes, Sunday school, to be fed the Word of God. You should. But when you get fed the Word of God, then go out there in the world and tell people about Jesus. The church is commanded to go. The church is commanded to go. You know, the world is drastically changing, isn't it? I've got to close. The world is changing fast. We know that. And it continues to do so. But there are some things that don't change. Number one is the truth will set men free. It has not changed. It never will change. The truth of the Word of God will set men free. And God uses you as a human being and me as a human being to connect that truth to other people. He uses us. So my challenge is this, you know, Dr. John R. Rice says this, if we make small efforts to win souls, our love is small. If we make none, how can we say we love Him at all? How can we say we love them at all? May I say to men in this church, we need to go visiting, men. We need to have people, men, to come together and go out visiting every week, at least once a week. Ladies, you need to have ladies together once a week and go visiting. This should be the number one thing in this church, is visiting and telling people about Jesus. Would you not say amen about that? That's what we should be doing. That's our goal. That's our purpose of being here. We're not here just to have fun together and fellowship and all that. That's good. But when that takes the place of soul winning, God's not pleased with that. Because he says, first of all, to go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Our attitude, belief, and commitment towards winning people to Christ. What is it? What is it? You know, this can be applicable to anything. These three words. May the Lord help us. Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for the Word of God you've given us to challenge us, Lord, to do what you commanded us to do. Lord, I pray, God, we might be found faithful, Lord, in doing that, that you've given us not only the command, but the privilege and the opportunity to do, Lord, to tell somebody else about you. Father, I pray you'd help us to be that vessel, willing to go, willing to be that light in a dark world. Father, we thank you now for the service about to go into. Please bless, Lord, the next hour, the singing, the preaching of the Word of God. Challenge us as your people, Lord, to go and tell people about you, the greatest news in the world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.